We thank you, choir, and also our orchestra, and Miriam on piano, Mark getting this all together, and also our praise band over in the Family Life Center. Last week, I talked to you about keeping sane in a COVID-crazy world. Today, I want to share with you about the mess of stress. If there's a person here that says they've never experienced stress, they'll lie to you about anything in the world. So turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, and we're also going to look at Mark, and we'll look a little bit in Matthew again as well. But I want you to look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I was reading about a test pilot the other day named Tom Attridge. He holds the unique distinction of being the first test pilot to ever shoot down his own aircraft while he was piloting that plane. You'll see here on the screen in just a moment. September 21st, 1956, he was flying a Grumman F-11 F-1 Tiger aircraft. He was flying at 13,000 feet. When he hit 13,000 feet, he fired his cannon. Then he began the descent from 13,000 feet, and when he hit 7,000 feet, all of a sudden the projectiles that he had shot began to riddle his plane. He couldn't make it back to the airport. He crashed in some trees, but he survived. Can you imagine flying a fighter jet and shooting your own self down to the ground? As we live a stressful life, sometimes we've got so many things we are taking care of and so many things coming at us, we feel like we're shooting ourselves in life. Today, I want to handle three basic things. First of all, we've got to learn to read the signs of stress in our life. The second thing we're going to study today is we got to read also the disciplines of Jesus and how he handles stress. And then the third thing we'll cover today is you must experience the peace of the Christian life. Let's start with the problems that highlight stress. In Matthew 11, verse 28, this is an invitation. He says, come to me, all you're weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. What a beautiful description of people who are burned out and who are stressed and don't know what to do. John 16, 33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace in this world. You will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. We've got to look for signs of stress in our life and then admit it when they come. Many of us are duped to think that if we deny it, it's all going to go away. Now, here's a key thought. When you feel like the peace of God that you used to have is not full like it used to be, then your reaction to the stresses of life are taking a toll. I found a great definition of stress. Stress is anything that causes anxiety, worry, anxiousness, a sense of pressure in your life to arise to the place where your sense of well-being and sense of control diminishes. It can be something emotional. It can be something physical. It could be family stress, social things. Any change in your life creates stress. It can even be a chemical imbalance. Some people have phobias that create stress in their life. For some people, it's their marriage. For others, it's their children. Sometimes for children, it's your parents that cause stress. Let me ask you some honest questions. Does your heart sometimes just palpitate nearly out of your chest? Sometimes you just get the sweats and you're not a diabetic or a hypoglycemic. Sometimes you just get a dull headache when you're in the middle of stressful situations. Do you have to deal with your impulsive behavior? Sometimes you're emotionally unstable. Sometimes you just want to run and hide just to get away from everything. Do you have the inability to concentrate? Do you become fatigued very easily? Ladies and gentlemen, you're suffering from stress. There are many other things. That's not comprehensive. But we need to diagnose the signs in our life to help us know if it's time for some good spiritual stress management. I was reading the other day about the celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain. He committed suicide June the 8th, 2018. Some of you who like the Food Channel used to follow him. He looked like a person that just had life by the tail. He went from one country to another making his delicious recipes. He had a tattoo on him that he pointed out one time in an interview. And here's what his tattoo said. I am certain of nothing. That's pretty empty. I am certain of absolutely nothing. You better be certain that you know where you're going when you die. And that only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a whole lot of things we ought to be certain of, but he says, with all that I have, and the audiences that I entertain, and all the friends that I have worldwide, he said, I am certain of nothing. And he ended his life in 2018. Then we need to learn the practices of Jesus. Jesus, virgin born, stepped down through the doorway of heaven, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on a cross, rose again. He shed his blood for us. Because he's with the Father, in Christ, we can be with the Father someday. But the question is, did Jesus live with any stress? People rejected him. Even one of his own disciples betrayed him. Peter denied him. The Pharisees and the Sadducees argued with him. They wanted to put him to death. And on and on and on it goes. Jesus knew what it was like to experience stress on this earth. Do you find him depressed? You know, when I read through the New Testament, I don't find anywhere where Jesus is sitting on a hillside or on some rocks and looking at his disciples and saying, I'm so depressed. I just don't know what tomorrow holds. I just don't know what the Father's plan is for my life. Never does he say that. You'll find that Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So I want to go over quickly six basic practices Jesus followed. And like I said, they are very, very basic. The first thing we see with Jesus handling stress and life that came his way was with prayer. And that's in Mark 1:35. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. This is so very important. Before he started his busy day, he got up early enough to get off by himself to pray. He was preparing himself for anything that would come his way. He needed wisdom from the Father. He needed the power of the Holy Spirit. He needed to know how to handle every situation, every person, every occasion that approached him. Now, many of us, the very first thing we do when we get up is fill our minds with bad, horrible things. Some of you, the first thing you do after you get your cup of coffee, you get out your smartphone and you check out the news. Then you go on Facebook. There's so many wonderful things on Facebook. You know, Mary Ellen, she's eating cornflakes for breakfast. Well, I really need to know that. That just made my day. And then another lady, she says, I shot three of my children last night and ran my husband off. And isn't that sad? That just burdens my whole day. I hope nobody would ever do that. And you know, you see what's going on in the world. You see what's going on in our nation, things that we never thought would happen. So what you've done is you've cluttered yourself with all of this bad news before you've even eaten your breakfast. You know, one thing that I used to do that's absolutely terrible, I'll tell a secret on myself. I get up in the morning. It's all I do to get to work on time, and I'm going to be here on time. I didn't take time to pray before I left the house, so I would pray while I'm driving on the way to church. Now, I recommend that you do that because there are a lot of ladies driving big SUVs out here, so there's nothing wrong with praying while you're driving. But here's what I found. If you take time out in a quiet place in your home to read the Word of God and pray before you leave home, as soon as you get in that vehicle, you've got a peace that passes all understanding. You know why? You're equipped for your day. You've prayed for wisdom. You've prayed that God will give you wisdom through the power of the Holy Spirit from the instruction of His Word. I'm in a profession, a calling from God that I never know from one day to the next what I'm going to face. I don't know who's going to be angry. I don't know when I'm going to get a phone call to go to the church, go to the hospital because one of our members is dying. I had a phone call not too long ago. One of our members was on life support, and their mind was just as sharp as yours and mine now. And they said, get the pastor down here right away. I want him to meet in ICU with me and the family, and I want to plan my funeral. So I got my N95 mask and went straight down there. And she says, here's what I want at my funeral. And she laid it all out. I was in the room about 30 minutes. Then I said, well, you all need to be with your family. You don't need me here. This just needs to be family time. And here's what she said. She said to her family, I want you to order me a shot of morphine. And then I want you to take away this life support. And then before dark, she was in heaven. When I'm on the way down to those kind of situations, even though I've been doing it for 41 years, I'm praying while I'm driving down there, God, give me the words to say to bring comfort to this family, and also have a compassionate heart for the person who is dying so I can do exactly what they want done with their family. Equip yourself with prayer if you're going to handle stress. The second thing is plans God has for you. And that's in Luke 4, 42 through 44. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a, look at this again, early in the morning, to a solitary place. The people were looking for him. And when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Other people wanted Jesus to stay in that place. His disciples said, we got a crowd here. We need to stay in this place. Jesus said, I've got other people I've got to see to share the gospel. Now, mark this down. Jesus did not allow other people to control his schedule. He got alone with the Father every morning, and he got his plans for the day. So he said, even though you want me to stay, the other people want me to stay, he said, I want you to know that I am the light. Now, the light can illuminate a room, but you take a focus light, it can cut like a laser. Jesus had to live like a laser. The key to stress management in our life is you've got to be able to have some control over your schedule, or people and demands will absolutely deplete you of all your energy. I read the other day about a lady, Christy Knuckles. Around 15 years ago, she was a songwriter, and she led praise and worship all over the nation. She was in high demand. Her husband was involved in the ministry with her as well. They had children. And she said, after 15 years of an intense schedule, she said, we looked at each other and they said, we've been trying to serve God, but we have got to have balance in our life because our children need us in these formative years. And here's what she said. She said, I had yesed myself into exhaustion. You don't have to be a well-known singer to do that. Sometimes when people keep making one request after another, finally you've got to learn how to say no. Because some things are not God's plan for you. And that's the model that Jesus gives us. Third thing you want to write down, have God-given purpose. John 8:14, Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I'm going, but you have no idea where I came from or where I'm going." Jesus knew his purpose. Let me ask you a question, very simple. What is God's purpose for you in life? Do you have any idea? If you're going to manage stress, you've got to get in the Word of God, and you've got to pray and let God let you know what his purpose is for you. We get busy with things. Do you know where you're going? Do you know what you're doing? The other thing I would suggest to you is that you be an organized person. You don't want to be a person who worships organization. But you'd better know where your marriage is going. You'd better know where your finances are going. You'd better know what kind of parent you are so you know where your children are going. You better know where you're going educationally, where you're going with your career. And here's something else. You better know where you're going spiritually. That's one place we neglect, and we neglect the spiritual part of our lives. That's when stress can absolutely destroy us. Christmas 2021, a movie came out called American Underdog. Kurt Warner, everybody know who Kurt Warner is. He's in the Hall of Fame, professional quarterback. He said when he first went into the NFL, he was cut by the Green Bay Packers. Did you know that? He didn't have a job. He had to go to work in a grocery store. He worked in a grocery store in Des Moines, Iowa. And he said, "You know, while I was working that grocery store, I was making barely enough money to feed my family." And he said, "I wondered why in the world, as good as I am as a quarterback and a football player, why in the world did I get cut?" So in that movie, he says this. He says, "What I realize is most people have a supermarket moment when they say, 'Why am I here? And how do I get out of here?'" Super Bowl MVP said, "As I say in the movie, sometimes you got to do what you got to do while you're waiting to do what you were born to do." Adversity sometimes spawns those supermarket moments where we find clarity of purpose and resilience to face our challenges. The next thing I want you to write down is partnership. In Luke 6, verse 13, "When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor." Partnership, sometimes many of us get so stressful because we feel like we've got to do things all by ourselves. Jesus is the Son of God. So he decides to invest himself in 12 disciples to help him do the work. The Bible never, ever, one time in the New Testament calls us to a Lone Ranger Christianity. So many people have said since COVID, "I'll never go back to church." You're in violation of the Word of God. You can obey and be blessed. You can disobey and you're going to suffer the consequences. There's times when we're going through struggles that we've just got to bring people alongside us, and one of the best places you can find that is in your church. I've got a friend over in Augusta who pastored for almost 40 years and worked for the Georgia Baptist Convention. We talk about once a month. I need his advice. Sometimes he picks me for ideas. I've got a businessman over in Augusta. He's young. I've known him since he was 13. His father died about 3 years ago. I just need to call him because sometimes I'm the father he doesn't have anymore. Now, that gives you a real wide awakening about your age, but when you're on Medicare and Social Security, you might as well just realize who you are and just go on with it. But I've got people that I go to for advice. The other thing I want you to know is you're going to find that help in a church. Many of us need discipline, the discipline of Jesus in sharing what we do with other people. One of our church members who was on the search committee in 1997 was asked recently, said, "What is Dr. May's strongest leadership quality?" And he said, "Delegation." I wasn't all that way all the time. Mark's worked with me twice. That's his problem. Why would you work for somebody like me once and then work for me again unless you're running from something? And used to, I was a micromanager. I'd tell you something to do, and I'm going to check on everything that you do, and if you don't do it, I'm on your case. But it's a whole lot less stress if you sit down with your staff and you say, "Here's the vision. I want your input on how we're going to carry this out." And then I'll say, "Listen, all I want is the bottom line. I'm not going to check on all the work in parts." But what I'm actually doing is giving them an opportunity to be successful, but also giving them the opportunity to fail. If you're a leader, there's nothing wrong with sometimes letting your people fail, because they learn the greatest lessons when they fail rather than you sitting there with your finger pointed in their face. When you're on a church staff, if you don't think enough of the Lord Jesus Christ and doing everything as unto him, and you fail, you're going to fail before the whole congregation. And they, listen, you're not ignorant. You have discernment. You know for sure when we are not giving the Lord our best, when we come before you to lead worship, Bible study, outreach, youth ministry, or children's ministry. Now, you might go out of here and say, "Man, the pastor laid a brick today." But I'll promise you that I've spent hours and hours and hours in preparation of this message. Next thing I want you to write down is this: your person. Know who you are. I do not understand people when I'm counseling with them and they tell me, "I'm not sure who I am and I'm not sure where I'm going and what I'm supposed to do." I wasn't raised in that kind of world. When I was under my mom and dad's leadership, you didn't even have to think about where you were going. They told you. And if you got off the path, they had a way of herding you right back on the path you were supposed to go. Then when we got older and it was time to think about college, Dad said, "There's just one college you can go to that I'll pay for you if you go anywhere else. I wish you all the best. But while you're going to college, you're going to have a job. And when you get out of college, you're not going to live here with us very long. You had better be on your way with what God has called you to do." Know who you are. If you're saved, you're a blood-bought, born-again, baptized believer. You're a child of the King. Act like it. Don't let people push you around. Don't let people push you into activities that would discredit the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has purpose for us. The outside pressure that all of us will feel by other people is to be balanced by the internal realization of who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that in your own home. You know dads. You know moms. How did Jesus handle it when people didn't like him or misconstrued him? It didn't bother him. Why? Because he knew who he was. He was secure in who he was. I walked in a hardware store this week. Isn't that amazing? Of course, I had to ask for directions in the hardware store. This teenage boy walked up to me. He's about this tall. He and his family don't go to church here anymore, but I know him. He couldn't be more friendly. And he's going to have a scholarship to go probably to a D1 school to play football. He looked at me and he said, "Dr. May, how are you doing, man? I said, I'm doing great. Tell me about the schools that are recruiting you now. And I said, here's what I need. Well, he didn't know where it was either. So he had to help. And I walked around there, and I mean, I thought, man, on 4th and 1, I could run behind him at my age and make a first down. There's just no doubt. About that time, an older gentleman that works at the hardware store, I don't know who he is, but he's waited on me before, but he hollered across the hardware store, and he said, is our employee there getting you what you want, Dr. May? And I said, oh, yeah, we're getting it. And then he said to the employee, he said, that Dr. May is one of the finest men that lives in this town. Who in the world are you? I'm going to hire him to do my public relations. And I said, well, this guy knows me. Your employee knows me. I said, I held him in my arms at his parent baby dedication, and now he can pick me up with one hand. I said, he knows me, and I said, he's one of my neighbors. Listen, you better know who you are and who you represent everywhere you go. Because if you don't, people are going to put pressure on you. They're going to try to tempt you to be a part of some things that'll absolutely scar your name, your reputation, and most of all, your witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing I want you to write down is pleasure. Now, what are you talking about here? I don't want you to misconstrue that, hey, I need the party. That's not what he's saying here. Mark 6, 30 and 31. Listen to this. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then because so many people were coming and going, and they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. Jesus knew the discipline of pleasure. Sometimes we need to slow down. J.B. Phillips' translation of this text, Jesus came enjoying life. You know, one thing we've forgotten is the pleasure of physical activity. I don't get to play golf much. I've played like 18 holes since September, just been too busy. The weather's been too bad. But it's great to participate in physical activity. Think about Jesus. He knew physical activity. He walked everywhere he went. Do you want a biblical prescription? Listen to this, ladies, I want you to write this down. You want a biblical prescription for pleasure? Let me give you a biblical prescription for a cruise, ladies. Write this down. Mark 6, verse 32. It's talking about Jesus. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. So if you want to take a cruise this summer, ladies, you've got a text. You found it. That's the scriptural prescription. You know, when you go to Chick-fil-A, the employees always say what when they get through with the sale? My pleasure. Truett Cathy, when he founded Chick-fil-A, started saying that and teaching it to his employees, though he did not require it for the first 10 years. He said, I don't want you to say thank you. That lets people know that you appreciate them. But when you say, it's my pleasure, not only is that saying thank you, but you're honoring that customer. We need to serve God and serve other people with that kind of attitude. And listen to me. There's nothing wrong with taking a nap. Is spiritual. I hadn't found it in the Bible, but I know it's godly. It gives me so much peace. There's nothing wrong with taking a vacation. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Now, if you're taking out a second mortgage on the house, you've got other problems. That's going to create stress. But the Lord Jesus Christ says these six principles will help you manage stress. Now, notice the peace of Christ here quickly. We need to experience the peace of Christ. Now, how do you do that? Go back to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. There are three words that are power words in this text. First of all, he says, calm. Today, that's what God is inviting us to do. That means get up and do something. what? He says, God is calling you to make a decision for a changed life. Jesus called people publicly, but here he's calling us personally. He says, come unto me. The second thing he says, take my yoke. What is a yoke? You've been to a farm and you see where they plow with ox. They put a yoke on them so that they share the burden of the load equally. And here Jesus says, if you'll come to me and take my yoke, I'll be in there with you. I'm going to help you handle the stresses of life. He says, my yoke fits you. I'm going to be with you right here. I'll be lined up with you. It's going to be easy. The biblical description is that it would fit perfectly and it'll be lighter. It won't be as hard if you come to me. And the last thing I want you to write down is learn. Many of us, we hear the facts. We say, well, I just need to pray. But we're not doing it. We haven't learned from the Lord Jesus Christ. What I shared with you this morning can absolutely change the way you handle stress. Listen, my first church, I was hospitalized for several weeks for stress headaches. Every time somebody died, they died with a brain tumor, and I got a headache. I thought I was going to die of a brain tumor. I was crazy. And then I wouldn't take a day off. Delaney will tell you for years, I didn't even take a day off. Just stupid. Just absolutely the valedictorian of stupid school. And then when I got here, it was just 24/7 again. And finally, I told our staff, we're going to work Sunday through Thursday. Somebody's going to be on call Friday, Saturday. We'll work Sunday. Y'all need a rest. I need a rest. We need to do things different. We have to learn from the model that Jesus gives us in the New Testament on how to handle stress. Now, one last thing I want to say to you, and we're finished. He says, if you'll come to me, take my yoke, and learn from me, he says, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, a lot of people think, what I really need is a pill to handle my stress. You might want to do that temporarily. If you do that on a long-term basis, you're going to get yourself in a whole lot of trouble. Adrian Rogers said that he knew a man that was just totally frayed. He just had no more energy. He was totally stressed out. So he went to his internal medicine doctor. The doctor checked him out. And here's what he said. He said, physically, you're in top shape. He said, the problem is you've been burning the candle at both ends. And the patient said, yeah, I know that. I'm here to get more wax. Many of us, when we read that a little further there, you'll find rest for your soul. We think that's eternal life. Nope. When you look at the Greek language where it says you'll find rest, you know what the literal translation of that is? You will be rejuvenated. Many of us, that's exactly what we need. We need to be rejuvenated. We're wiped out physically, emotionally, and spiritually because we don't practice the discipline or the priorities of Jesus. We don't think we have the time to give, and we don't even have the power. What we need to do is to be rejuvenated. That's the promise. Will you take it? Will you stand right where you are, heads bowed, eyes are closed? Lord, thank you for meeting with us today, whether it's a student with exams, whether it's a marriage, our finances, parenting, just being a child or young person, going off to college for the first time, experiencing loss, whatever it is, it just creates stress. Thank you for realizing that when you made us. And thank you for Jesus coming and saying, if you just trust me, walk with me, a spirit-filled, spirit-empowered life, I'll take part of that weight, make it lighter, and help you handle stress in a Bible-based way so that you can have peace and a productive life and bring glory to the King. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Savior and Lord, I'm going to tell you how to have peace. Jesus came and lived a perfect life. And when he allowed himself to be spat upon and whipped, called all kind of names and nailed to a cross, he did that for you and me, for your sins and mine. Third day he rose from that tomb. He's at the right hand of the Father now. And the reason he did that is so you and I can have the free gift of salvation. He said, whosoever just calls on his name, invites Jesus in their heart, shall be saved. If you're not sure how to do that, we're going to offer you assistance in just a few minutes. Some of you have already been saved. You need to be a candidate for baptism and church membership, the real public profession of your faith. Some of you have been our guests for some time. You've been praying about a church home, and God's given you peace. This little place in Silver Creek to put your spiritual gifts on the altar for him. We'll write for the details. We'll take care of your church letter and all that. I'm just asking you to do with your life what God has convicted you in your heart you ought to do. And Lord, we're going to thank you for decisions that are made in the Family Life Center and this worship center today as we observe the most important time of this service, the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Richard and Dan are coming forward with a praise band in the Family Life Center. Ted's going to join me here at the front. If you're comfortable coming forward to make a decision or you have a prayer need, we invite you to do that in both services. If you're uncomfortable doing that, at the end of the service, if you go to the Connect desk in the Family Life Center or the Welcome desk here in our Welcome Center, Ted and I will be there. Dan and Richard will be at the Connect desk on the other side. If you're watching us on your electronic device, if you'll call 706-234-1841, leave a message. A staff member will get back with you as soon as possible. So Mark's going to lead us here. Jennifer is leading over in the other service. You come as God speaks to your heart.